Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Game, we talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. It is possible.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination, it's the journey. Mamba out.
We're now going to move on to our Dynasty Rookie Rankings, Volume 1. So, we obviously like to talk a lot of fantasy basketball on this podcast, on this YouTube channel. This is the first look at this rookie class for the 2021 class. We're going to be doing our initial projections and breaking them up into tiers and where we think that they should go in a rookie draft. If you were drafting rookies only, this is the order at this stage that we think that they should go. So, if your drafts are early, this is where they should go. Obviously, this is without looking at them in summer league or in preseason. So this list might change, but just based on their statistical profile, the opportunity they have in the team that they were drafted in, and whether or not we actually rate them as a long-term prospect to succeed. So we're going to start with the first tier, and it's pretty obvious. On a tier on his own, we've got Cade Cunningham. Personally, I think he is in a dynasty startup draft, a top 12 player. I think if you are drafting at pick 12 in a dynasty league, he shouldn't go past you. I could even see him going earlier than this. He might be a top 40 player next season. His floor is just so high and his upside is a first rounder safely. There's just not many holes to his game. What are your thoughts of Cade Cunningham from a fantasy point of view, Cal?
Oh, he can definitely do it all. I mean, if you look at his stats in college, they shouldn't. I guess they'll change a bit. He'll probably get more game time as well. But the defensive stats are there. But 0.8 blocks, 1.6 steals. He gets 20 points a game with 6 rebounds, about 3.5 assists. So
yeah. I can see those.
I can definitely expect it. He looks like a 26-5 kind of is waiting to happen with defensive stats. The turnovers will hurt you, but even the threes, he hits the threes as well.
Yeah,
he looks like a sure thing. He's not going to hurt you really at all with that three throw percentage. So he's a sure deal.
Yeah, I'm picturing a statistical profile similar to that of a Luka Doncic, with maybe like a little bit less scoring. But
better free throws.
Have better free throws and you're going to have better steals. So that's the kind of level that we're talking about here. And you look at Luka, he is going off pick one, pick two in dynasty drafts at the moment. So that's the kind of level you're speaking about. So that's why I think that he is someone that shouldn't be going past pick 12 in a dynasty startup league. You could even justify picking him at pick 9 or 10 if you're someone who's okay with starting with a bit of a rebuild, if that's where you want to start your dynasty team. So if you've got the rookie draft, I think that you just draft Cade Cunningham. You don't think twice about it. Don't get fancy. Yes, he's the number one pick, but I think he's the safest pick by far. And that's why he is on a tier of his own. We'll move on quickly to the next one. So tier two, and again, another player in his own tier. Evan Mobley is the player we're talking about from the Cleveland Cavs. Talk to me about Evan Mobley. And do you agree with me, Callum, that he should be in a tier on his own in tier two?
I do. I think it's Cade and him definitely at the top of the pack. Do believe he's definitely ahead of the others. And that's predominantly because of his blocks. I think the block upside, which is huge in fantasy. He put up 2.9 a game at college. It's obviously there for him. His field goal is pretty good as well. Rebounds will be there. For a big man, his assists are actually pretty good as well.
He's a great passer, yeah.
So there's no huge weakness, even his steals. He got close to one a game. I think, once again, he's a sure thing. And those blocks, definitely going to boost him up. He won't get the points like Cade will. But arguably, you could even put him in the same tier as Cade just because of the block potential.
I was close to. He's definitely closer to tier one than tier three. I think that these two guys are ultimately the players that could potentially be potential number one fantasy players in the league. I just think that his floor is a lot lower than Cade's. So that's why I sort of separated them into two different tiers. Cade's obviously a bit of a safer pick. But Evan Mobley, if things all go right, you've got an Anthony Davis, you've got a Karl Anthony Towns, you've got a Joel Embiid, those elite big guys that are in the top 10 perennially every year, that don't hurt your percentages, that give you those blocks. And that the thing that I'd be interested to see if Evan Mobley can give us that good free throw percentage as well as those blocks like Anthony Davis does. His free throw percentage in college was just under 70%. But I have a bit of confidence that I can see that getting up closer to 75 to 80% sort of marker, which is something that's definitely recoverable. I don't think he's going to be a punt free throw percentage sort of player in fantasy. Personally, do you sort of see that happening as well?
He actually attempted about six a game in college, which is a surprise. Yeah. I feel like that will go down a bit, just in attempts, which makes it more manageable.
Yeah.
But if he does maintain, let's say he averages over six a game, that will hurt you. So
it will hurt you if it stays at, if it stays at that level. I have a little bit of faith that it will improve though. I think his offense and shot will come along, but that is obviously me projecting that. We'll see if that does come to fruition. All right. So those two are pretty clear and obvious ones to me. In terms of fantasy, I'm very confident having those in their own tiers. So let's get on to the next tier, tier three. And this is where we start to have a few more players closer together, in my opinion. I've got at three, Jalen Green at four. Bit of a riser from the actual draft, Alperen Sengun, your boy, Cal. And at five, I've got Jalen Suggs. So I've got the two Jalens and Alperen Sengun wedged in the middle here. Do you agree with my order of Jalen Green 3, Sengun 4, and Suggs 5?
I do. I think it's the right. I totally agree. Okay. I'm on board with this.
Interesting. So in our Dynasty draft coming up, I know that you have pick 4. So let's assume that Green, Mobley, and Cunningham are off the board. Are you taking Sengun over Suggs at this stage?
I will be. I think I will.
Wow.
It's just he's playing for Houston. He's going to get fantasy stats. We saw what Kelly Olynyk could do. I am convinced that Sengun is a better player than Olynyk right now. And Olynyk was putting up top first round value in fantasy world for about a month or so when he got traded there. So I think that's great signs. The one thing about Suggsy is the steals, which could be huge for him. Yes. I mean, if he gets over two a game, that is a huge booster with the assists as well. So it really could go either way, but I just think the opportunity, especially with Houston, will really boost Sengun's value, especially for this first season. I will say it's a bit more of a risk, though. I think Suggs is obviously more of a sure thing. You are swinging the dice at a little bit more of Sengun, let's say in I don't know, 3 or 4 years, he could do a bit of a Hazonia and be out of the league. I don't think he will.
No, I don't think so either.
The risk is more higher.
Yeah. I agree with that. That was what I was going to mention. I think if you are someone who is a bit more risk averse, then I would recommend a player like Jalen Suggs as someone who you might be more comfortable taking over a Sengun. But the upside for Sengun is literally the same upside as those players in the first two tiers. If I just read out his per 36 minutes playing over internationally, 24 points, 11 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 2 blocks, and 1.7 steals on 64% shooting from the field and 80% from the free throw line. Like, that is
MVP.
MVP. That is 7 categories in huge volume there that you just can't get anywhere else. Think about a DeMarcus Cousins with good percentages. That's the kind of level that we're talking about here from Alperen Sengun at his ceiling. So if everything goes well, and say he even gets a three-point shot, you're, again, literally talking about a top 10 player in fantasy basketball. Now, that's a ceiling. His floor is, you know, a lot lower than some of these other guys. I can see that there is a world where he might not work out and he doesn't develop that three-point shot and therefore can't get the minutes that it requires. But you've got a massive ceiling there. And I think at this point, that ceiling is too hard to ignore. So if you're okay with taking a bit of a risk, I think Sengun is fine to go around here. That is interesting. That is very interesting that you agree with me there. I was wondering how you would fall there. Do you think that you would take Green over Sengun?
Yeah, I think I would, just because I just think that man is a walking 25 points.
Yeah.
And especially at Houston, I would not be surprised at all if he's top 3 in scoring this season, just because he's at Houston. That's the main thing. He's at Houston. Okay. His field goal will be terrible. But we saw some players, average pretty crazy things.
Like, I think that's a bold statement. I'm not going to go that far, but do think the man can put the ball in the basket. So
I mean, we saw Kevin Porter Jr. put up 50 points in a game.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. We'll see.
I think Jalen Green's got more talent than he does. So
there's a lot of good scorers in the NBA, but in fantasy point of view, like, points per game is, that's the name of the game, and it's hard to find those players that put up 25 plus points a game, which I think Green will be able to do. So from that point of view, yes, I think that's why I've got him at number 3. I worry about his assist generation. I worry about his blocks, field goal percentage compared to some of these other guys. He has some weaknesses, some of the supporting stats. I'm not sure, you know, per 36, he was getting 1.7 steals. So that is encouraging. Sometimes those scoring first point guards don't get the steals. So that does give me a bit of hope. But I don't necessarily see a top 10 sort of upside here. I sort of see him more as like a top 25 ish kind of player, like sort of like the mold of like a Devin Booker or a Bradley Beal, but maybe with a bit less assists sort of thing. Would you think that's about a fair assessment for his upside?
I can see it being a Bradley Beal in a couple years to come, I think.
Yeah.
I'd say Bradley Beal is probably the best
best outcome
comparison for me now.
Yeah. I think, this just could get up there at that sort of 5-6 per game sort of mark, but I wouldn't be counting on it personally. I think it's probably more of, like that 3-4 sort of level. All right, let's move on to where are we up to? Tier 4 now. Okay, this is where we start. I think there's a fair gap between Tier 4 and Tier 3. I am excited about a few of these players, so I'm still quite confident in a lot of these players working out. At number 6, I've got Scottie Barnes for Toronto Raptors. At 7, Josh Giddey, the Aussie, at OKC. And at 8, I've got Moses Moody for the Warriors. What jumps out at you from this tier here, Cal, mostly?
I think what yells me is they all do have some kind of flaw, which can limit their fantasy. And that's why it could go either way. I like Scottie Barnes is my guy in terms of what I believe in him a bit more than the others, but he doesn't have a 3-point shot at all right now. So you can kind of watch that fantasy.
Yeah.
That's one of 9 categories you're scratching in a play, which can hurt you.
Yeah.
Maybe in a few years he'll develop it, but at this point his shot isn't great, but I can see the defensive stats being huge for him. Absolutely, I can totally see him being at least 1.5 steals over a block a game. And then like getting the assists as well. He could do a bit of a Nick Batum back in his glory fantasy days, but without the 3-pointer.
Yeah. I think the comparison that gets thrown around statistically is like a Draymond Green. I don't know if I necessarily see that, you know, when Draymond Green was at his peak, he was like a top 15 kind of player, getting positives in nearly every single category. His only weakness was the lack of points. But he was getting at least like a 3.5. He was getting a block and a half a game. I don't know if I see those kind of stats for Scotty Barnes. He also doesn't rebound quite as well as Green does. And so I don't know. I don't see his ceiling that high. However, I do, you know, you're going to get a bunch of steals. You're going to get good field goal percentage, I imagine. You're going to get a decent level of out of position assists. The blocks will be there, you know, around that block per game, I imagine. And then the rebounds, we'll see. We'll see how high they come depending on the roster. But the thing that encourages me is the Toronto Raptors development program. A lot of players from Toronto develop into good fantasy players. So that encourages me. But it also discourages me in a way that he's not going to feature early. I think it might take maybe a season or two before he really blossoms into what we are going to see him become. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I definitely do agree with that. I think it wouldn't surprise me in a few years if he actually does get a reliable three-point shot, just because the development in Toronto has always been outstanding. So he's landed in a great spot.
If he's ever going to get that three, it's going to be in Toronto. So they're renowned for their player development over there. I think the best in the league, personally. I'll throw it over to Josh Giddey. I think he gets here, obviously, triple-double sort of numbers, big rebounds, big assists. Lacks a little bit in the scoring. The steal numbers might be a little bit of an issue, although I think he probably can get over a steal a game, which is serviceable. Whether or not he develops that three-point shot is a big thing as well. But I just think the value in those assists, which are, you know, one of the hardest categories to sort of get in large numbers like this, I think that is enough for me to put him up here. And the fact that he's a young player, still under 19 years of age, I think it's enough. And the fact he's on OKC, he's got opportunity. He's going to get the minutes fed to him early and often. So do you think that Giddey belongs in this sort of list at this point?
I'm not too sure, just because with the team OKC, I know they're kind of going full tankathon, but they do still have Kemba there, who they're obviously going to try and trade. And he still is pretty raw. Like, there's a lot of things Giddey needs to work on, really, to reach his potential. As we know, he doesn't really shoot the three much. And his defensive stats are pretty average in terms of what you want for fantasy. So those three can hurt you. And, I mean, his free throw, he shot 69% in Australia. I'd like to think he'd be able to hit in the 70s, which I think he'll develop on. But nothing, it's really just his assists, and I guess rebounds are above average, are the only things that really are going to benefit your team at this point in time, based on his Australia stats. But he was running the point guard full on there. And then now with Kemba and with Shea, that value with the assist will drop. So I just wouldn't expect anything huge this next season. But he will show some flashes.
That's a good point. I will be interested to see how they run the offense, whether it's through Shea or whether it's through Giddey. Obviously, you've got Trey Mann there as well.
And Poku,
Point Poku. Yes, a lot of ball handlers on that team. So that's a fair point. Maybe the usage is not quite as high and the assists are not there as a result. So obviously, you know, I do see a little bit of downside there. But I think at this point, if you're after, especially if you're after assists in your team, then that is someone you can go for. The last player, Moses Moody. Speaking of assists, Moses Moody is not going to give that to you. Obviously, with all these players, apart from the top five, you've got glaring weaknesses, really. You know, Scotty Barnes won't give you the scoring or the threes. Giddey's not going to give you much scoring, or you know, the percentage is a bit iffy. And Moody, you're not going to get any assists really at all from him. Although playing the Golden State Warriors system, they do move the ball around a fair bit. So we'll see. But I like his all-around game. I think he's a terrific player. I think he's going to get the minutes. Maybe the scoring might not be there on this team when they're trying to compete for a championship. But down the line especially, I can see him being a 20 points per game plus scorer. He's going to get you the steals. He averaged 0.7 blocks as a shooting guard. That's really good. Free throw rate is incredibly high. He gets to the line a lot. So that's positive. Shoots at a high clip. Good threes. Solid rebounder for his position. So good around across the board stats. Doesn't really hurt you in any one area. Just got to make sure that you look after those assists, but he's not on your team to get assists there. What are your thoughts on Moody?
I think he looks like a safe pick. He's not going to really, as you said, he's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a great four. We'll get the threes. We'll get pretty good points. I think his best asset will be the free throws. But right now, Golden State, with that roster, obviously it won't be maximized. Give him a few years. And the one asterisk with him, though, as we touched on kind of before, is anyone in Golden State that isn't called Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond could be traded. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind.
That's true. Yeah, that's a fair point. The situation may change, particularly if a better offer comes along. But I'm a huge believer in Moses Moody's ability. So to me, I think his talent will win out regardless of where he's at. And if someone's trading for him, they're obviously looking to rebuild a little bit, so that I might even improve his usage depending on where he goes. So I wouldn't be too scared by that. I'm a big believer in his long-term talent anyway. Let's start to go through these a little quicker now, Cal. We'll go on to tier five. I've got five players in this tier. I've got Franz Wagner in Orlando, Jonathan Kuminga, another Golden State Warrior player, Trey Mann from Oklahoma City, my boy Kai Jones in Charlotte, and Jalen Johnson in Atlanta. So we've got a bit of a mix here. I will start to say that the guy at the top of the list, Franz Wagner, is there because of his floor. He's probably the closest to the next tier. However, I just don't think the ceiling is super high, although he does have a lot of multi-category pluses. You mentioned a name before that I think fits this guy perfectly in Nick Batum. I think he's got that Nick Batum-ish kind of game where he, you know, gives you a steal, a block, a three. He gives you some assists. He gives you some rebounds. Not going to score a bunch, but solid percentages, just across the board stats. For me, it's the talent and how he's going to fit on this Orlando Magic squad. But I think he's a pretty safe player to pick around that sort of 8-9 sort of spot. What are your thoughts on Franz?
I think the one main thing that would yell at me would be minutes played. That Magic roster does not have really anything going on for them, aside from these two great prospects in Wagner and Suggs, who they picked up. So that's what I'd be banking on. I think, and as you said, steals would be his main thing, but you get them just for the minutes and he will put up stats purely based on that reason.
Yeah, average over a block a game in college for a 6'8" wing. That's really good. 3.5 assists is a good passer, a good ball mover. So, it will fit any team, I think. So he was really close to making the tier above, and that might change. I just wanted to see him in Summer League. I think in terms of how I view him as a player, he was a tier below those other players. I want to talk to you about two players from this list. I want to talk to you about Trey Mann. Now, Trey Mann is a player that I'm really high on. I actually think he's a really good player. I think he's getting underrated in a lot of circles. I think the fact for him to create his own shot is one of the best in this class. I think the fact that he's on Oklahoma City, he's going to have a very green light from the start, and that's going to maximize his value. He might come off the bench depending if Kemba's there or not. It'll be interesting to see how he works with Giddy and Shea, but I think he's going to get the minutes in at least the high 20s sort of area, and he's going to get you know, decent assists. Steals are okay. Good rebounds for the point guard position, and obviously the points and threes are going to be there. Percentages will be very solid as well. So what are your thoughts on Trey Mann?
I want to get Kemba off this team because I actually love the potential of those three together with Giddy. Fantasy-wise, I think he probably you have kind of brought me round to him. I wasn't super high on Trey Mann. I saw a bit more of his tapes, and I do actually really quite like him now. He reminds me a lot of Shea, and that's who he's ended up landing with. And I do think they would really help each other out. And Shea's been awesome in fantasy last season. So I think he will be pretty reasonable field goal in terms of a scorer. Like, it should be pretty effective. Free throws will be really good. He'll put up like a 25-5, I think, if he is given proper minutes. And even his steals would be over a steal. He'll contribute. He'll be a good player.
Yeah, I think that's not out of the realm of possibility. I think that's his upside. But I like his floor. I think on this team, he's got a clear role defined for him. He's going to score buckets. You know, even if it's just for the preseason, having Kemba Walker on that roster to, you know, coach him through the NBA, get him working on his dribbling. Like, you know, his one of his comps that I had for him was Kemba Walker. One of your comps is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So he's got a lot of good mentors based on his body type and his ability. So yeah, I think he can do big things on this roster. And I am a big believer in Trey Mann. He's the pick that they kept out of him and Sengun. So obviously they think highly of him too. So I do like me some Trey Mann. Let's talk about Kai Jones. Now, this is a player that I probably haven't brought you around as much on. What are your thoughts about my ranking of Kai Jones in this tier and at rank 12 in the rookies for fantasy?
Once again, I am not a fan. Not a fan. I would not be drafting him very, very early on. At this point, he's definitely only really a backup center for a couple of years.
A couple years? I think 1 year, and then halfway through the next year, he's starting personally. Because, you know, I don't know.
Mason Plumlee, he's still getting paid. He's got a big contract.
Oh, he's got an all right contract. But like, look at a player like Isaiah Stewart on the Detroit Pistons. You know, it took him 3/4 of the season to overtake Plumlee. I know the Pistons are probably more in a rebuild than the Hornets are, which is why I've given him an extra season. But I don't know. I just think that Plumlee is not the answer at center. And I just think that Kai Jones has fallen to the perfect team for him to maximize his value when you're playing alongside LaMelo Ball.
And he's landed in a great position. I just think you have to be patient with him. You have to be anticipating, very patient.
Yeah. And I think at this point in the draft, there is a point of patience that is required for most of these players. But you know, his fantasy translation come across pretty good. You know, you're getting the 1.5 blocks, you're getting the 1.5 steals, you're getting good rebounds, you're getting, you know, maybe not massive points, but, you know, 15 points a game. You're sort of getting decent percentages. You might even get a 3 or 3.5 per game. So you're getting that 1.5 steals, blocks, and threes potential. So if he gets the minutes, the upside is high. The floor, like you said, is probably also quite low. So it is a bit more of a risk play compared to some of these other guys in this tier here. I've also thrown in Kuminga and Johnson. Obviously, more upside sort of plays. The per minute stats are very tantalizing. The talent and also minutes projection for both of them is questionable for similar reasons in terms of the teams competing for championships. So again, players that you're going to have to be patient on, but if they do find themselves getting minutes, the fantasy upside is massive, especially for someone like Jalen Johnson, who's got that kind of Sengun almost level upside. But I don't see the pathway to minutes like I do a Sengun for him. Any thoughts on those two players?
I'll throw my eyes to Book Knight. That's what I'm looking at. I want to know why you've ranked him in the next tier, because I think he should be on the same, especially as Trey Mann, surely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's head over to the next tier then. And it is tier 6. And the first name you'll see there is James Book Knight at 14. I've got Bones Highland, 15, Isaiah Jackson at 16, Usman Garuba, 17. And at 18, I've got Zaire Williams. James Book Knight, I'm just not a fan. I don't know. There's something. I know he is a bucket. He's a hooper. He can ball, whatever you want to say about the guy. But to me, compared to someone like a Trey Mann, I think the opportunity is less. I think that the percentages were worse, especially from three-point percentage. I don't think he's quite as good a creator as Trey Mann. And I also don't think the assists will be there as well. So for that reason, that's why he's a tier below Trey Mann for me. A lot of people will disagree. A lot of people seem to like James Book Knight, and I'm okay and prepared to be wrong here. I don't think I've ranked him extremely low. I mean, 14th in my list, I think, is still pretty high. I just don't see a huge upside fantasy-wise, because I think scoring's the main thing he does. And outside of that, there's not a whole lot that I like.
Everyone needs scoring in fantasy. I'll make that very clear. And the man can get a bucket. That's what he's known for, right?
But is he going to be scoring points over LaMelo and Gordon Hayward and all these other guys on the team? Like, I don't see it as much.
I reckon you're drafting him because some people had him, you know, going sixth as like the sixth best prospect. he's a good player. And the one thing you'd be banking on is some kind of trade. There's no way they can maintain that backcourt out in Charlotte with, I mean, they have so many other Book Knight equivalents in Rozier and Graham and Monk. So I think they have something to move there. They're obviously going to keep LaMelo, but him and LaMelo could work really well together. And I think him cutting to the rim, his assists is probably the knock against him. I will admit that, but he can get a bucket. He can be pretty efficient because he doesn't take high three-pointers. Actually, I take that back. He took 5 three-pointers game and shot them pretty inefficiently. So if he can actually pick that up and shoot like a reasonable 35 or something percent, then that's only going to make his other stats look even better in terms of field goal. So.
I guess I am coming from the point of view that I'm not confident in his ability to do that. I mean, yes, he could, and he could prove me wrong. I just am hedging my bets a little bit here that I've seen a player like Trey Mann do it already, and I haven't seen it from Book Knight. There's a lot of times that we just expect players to get better at shooting. And Book Knight could do that. And by all reports, he's doing well in shoot around and things like that, like, and in those workouts. I want to see it on an NBA court. I want to see it in NBA pacing with NBA defenses. And I just am not willing to draft him higher than this because, there's other deficiencies and percentages and steals and assists. There's no blocks. He gives me points and potentially threes inefficiently. Maybe good free throw percentage on high volume. Rebounds are okay. Like, to me, it's pretty empty outside of that, but I could be wrong. Let's talk about some of these other guys. I want to highlight Isaiah Jackson, who got drafted by Indiana Pacers. I love this guy's fantasy game. This guy's fantasy game is one of the highest we've seen, but just the path to minutes is so difficult for that Indiana team. They just seem to love their bigs and just hide them behind their other bigs. I don't know. They've got Turner, they've got Sabonis, they've got Goga Badadze, and now they've got Isaiah Jackson. So, 4.5 blocks per 36 minutes is huge, obviously. But, when's he going to get starting minutes? When is that going to happen? How patient are you going to have to be? So he could potentially be higher than this if there was a move that happens before the start of the season. What are your thoughts on Isaiah Jackson and his potential upside versus minutes logjam?
I think the perfect comparison to him is Robert Williams. Found it hard to get minutes when he had minutes. Got really good blocks. It was awesome fantasy. Got a bit of injuries. I like to think that wouldn't be the case for Isaiah Jackson, but I feel like that's where we're headed. I feel like we're headed for like a kind of somewhat a waiver wire pick potentially where if he's getting minutes, he'll give you blocks, but for the most part, his minutes will probably be pretty low to start.
Yeah. Look, and those kind of players, like it looks like, for example, Robert Williams, he's going to be, in my opinion, a bit of a breakout candidate this coming season with a few trades that have happened in Boston, but it took a long time. Like it took many seasons for that to happen. I think maybe 3 or 4 seasons before we saw that. So again, it's a player you're going to have to be patient on, but the upside is undeniably there if your dynasty team kind of fits that timeline and you are looking for someone who can give you those blocks, rebounds, field goal percentage, all those big man goodies. Let's touch on one more player. I guess the other player I did want to touch on is Bones Highland. Some people might think that this is high for him. I just really like him and the fit here on the Denver Nuggets. Obviously, you've got Jamal Murray and his injury at the moment. Will Barton is a free agent, so he might not be coming back. So there is a spot there for him with a few of their guards injured / gone. And I like his ability a little bit more, in the Trey Mann kind of mold, but with maybe a little bit less opportunity, but more sort of steel upside. And I do like him as a player. I ranked him higher than where he got drafted. So what are your thoughts on Bonesy?
I like Bonesy. He got really good steals, great steals. Yeah. Shot the ball pretty well from three, and I feel like that's probably what you're after there. He got about 3 a game in terms of 3-pointers made, and then almost 2 a game. So his per 36 minutes are pretty damn good. So if he can maintain that 3 and D, I think he's a pretty good late kind of pick. I'm not screaming for him. The one guy I kind of wish Denver did draft was the guy drafted just before him in Cameron Thomas. because he put up about 24 points a game. He's a scorer. Denver with Jamal out, I think that's need a guy who can actually score instead of someone who, you know, because they got Jokic. They got Jokic there. They need someone who's a bit more of a scoring minded, like Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray is a scoring point guard. Look, they just missed out. I thought I would try and throw that in to give him a bit of praise, but he has landed at the Clippers. So I'm not too sure how that's going to work out for Cameron Thomas.
I think it was actually the Nets after a trade, but...
Right. So which is a similar scenario.
Yeah, that's why he features a bit further down on my board. But I think Bones Highland, 22 points per 36 minutes. He is an excellent shooter, has very deep range from three. So I really like his fit, and I think it was a good selection there. I might have had like a Jaden Springer higher, but I think he was around the mix personally. Do you want to quickly touch on your boy Usman Garuba and what are your thoughts with him? Obviously, for him, I love his game. I just don't necessarily see as much fantasy upside in terms of stats, but he's more of an impact kind of player, less so a stats generator. Is that fair to say?
I think he can be the block guy. Like he's got a long reach, good to help defender. I think that will be his if he's going to be big in fantasy, that's what he's going to have to go into. I can honestly see I can see him put up two blocks a game as a starting center because he's a great help defender, move his feet, and he's got such a big wingspan. Even though, he's 6'8", but we've seen people like Draymond, average pretty good defensive stuff. And I think this is what Grubb does. His intelligence is great. He'll be setting good screens. Even his passing.
His passing is solid.
Yeah, he's a solid passer. So I can see him being, in terms of fantasy, as a starting point guard, 12, 9, 3 assists with good blocks and reasonable steals. So that's a contributor to it.
Yeah. I'm also very confident that he's going to get minutes. Like he's going to be good enough to play large minutes in the NBA. So I'm confident from that point of view. I don't think his numbers are going to jump off the page. But I also weirdly think that he's going to rank pretty good in terms of fantasy, in terms of the fact that he's going to be low turnovers, if that, tickles your fancy. He's going to have good percentages. He's going to be efficient. He's going to get probably solid rebound numbers, a steal, a block, maybe a three a game. Just all those goodies, like all those little things that add up to good fantasy, but not one thing that really is his calling card. Personally, I definitely would go under on the two blocks a game, but I think he could be more of like that 1 to 1.5 blocks per game, which is still good value, especially if you combine all those other things. So whilst the numbers don't jump off the page immediately, there is a little bit there to like, and he's got a high floor I think as well compared to some of these other like a player like Isaiah Jackson, who's a bit more of a risk, if that's what you're after. All right, we might just touch on a couple of guys on this next tier 7. I've got my boy Jaden Springer at 19, Jared Baylor, at 20, Keon Johnson at 21. At 22, I've got Miles Deuce McBride, 23, Josh Christopher, 24, Davion Mitchell, 25, Chris Duarte. I'll throw it over to you, Cal. Who's someone that jumps out of you in this tier?
I guess... Did you mention Corey Kispert? Was he in your previous tier?
Sorry, he's coming up later.
I'd probably put him above Duarte because I was going to touch on Duarte, but I think Kispert, I'm going to throw in this tier myself. I'm going to jump him up there. He's at Washington, high octane offense. Yep. He put up like 20 points a game. And I understand he's an older player, but he put up 20 points Gonzaga, a game in college. Yeah. Great 3-point shooting, really good field goal.
Yeah, field goal was solid.
I think he will get minutes on this Washington team.
I can see that. I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, Washington, obviously, they're going to look a bit different than they did last year with no Westbrook there. I just don't know if I see much else besides, points, threes, and solid field goal percentage. If that's what you're after, then that's what you'll get, which can be useful in some instances. I think most of these other guys on this tier that I've got have higher upside than him. Just in terms of statistical variety, I would say. Chris Duarte, yes, I can. He barely made this tier just because his translation is a bit better. He gets the steals a little bit more so. Two steals a game per 36 minutes is pretty good. A bit better in terms of passing, slightly. But yeah, it really was those steals and slightly higher blocks as well that pushed him into this tier above him. But again, he's 24 years old. What's the upside there? So I would be more encouraged to move Duarte down than Kispert up into this tier personally, if I was to make a change and bring those two closer together. What are your thoughts on
another one for this tier?
My guy Jaden Springer is my number one here. It's going to be tough early on in Philadelphia. Obviously, he's in a situation that they're in a win now mode, but you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Ben Simmons. We don't know who or what they're going to get back, whether or not they're going to get more point guards or shooting guards. I think he's flexible to play either guard position. He's going to generate good steals. He's got passing upside, good field goal percentage for the guard position. And I just really rate his talent. So I think long-term he's going to win out, but there is obviously a bit of patience that's going to be required. I do also love Deuce McBride from the New York Knicks as a second round pick, who some people might be sleeping on, because I think his statistical translation will be really strong. Might struggle with Tibbs early on. Tibbs is famous for not playing rookies, but I do think that when he gets minutes, he'll put up some good numbers, because I think his defense is going to serve him very well in terms of fantasy.
And that's one thing that will help him with Tibbs. So
yeah,
to two steals a game, pretty much for his college career, which is just pretty respectable.
Yeah. Yeah. Two steals per 36 minutes. He's getting the five assists. He's, you know, solid with the points. He needs to develop that 3-point shot a little bit more, but I think he can. And I think he is someone who could be a solid potential starter on an NBA team. I will throw out there, many people might think that Davion Mitchell is way too low. Again, if you go back and listen to our Biggest Loser podcast or video, you'll hear a lot of my thoughts there, but I don't see it on this team especially. He'd be higher if he was on a team like, I don't know, the, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder or something like that. But on this team, when you've got De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton there, he's behind both those guys for me. Yes, he gets the good steal numbers. He gets some assists and he's, at least efficient, but he's got free throw issues, low scoring, low rebounds, low blocks. I'm not sold on the 3-pointer. So And he's old. He is older. So the upside in terms of growth isn't there as much as these other guys. So that's why he is here. But, you know, if he does get minutes, maybe one of those other guys gets moved. But I'm not going to predict that to happen. So what are your thoughts on Mitchell being at 24?
I think this is where he slots in. I agree. Just right now, because he's not a starting role. I think if he gets a starting role, it's there. But because he's got the older age, I think at this point he could be a bit more of a specialist just with Sacramento. He'll be come on and be that perimeter defender, because I don't trust the 3-point guards lineup. If there is a trade, I think his ceiling's a bit higher.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a bit of a gamble pick. Yeah. So he's lost some value definitely getting picked by Sacramento.
Yeah. And I wasn't high on him to begin with. If anything, I could actually see it moving down my board, but here's where he is at the moment. Let's go on to tier 8 and the final tier that we're going to do today, because we're doing a top 30. And I've got Sharif Cooper, JT Thor, Cameron Thomas, Trey Murphy III, and Corey Kispert to round out the top 30 rookies in Dynasty Fantasy. You know, a couple of high upside guys here, a couple of flyer types that obviously you're going to need to be patient with, and also a couple of boring safe picks in Trey Murphy and Corey Kispert. What are your thoughts, or what grabs your attention in this tier, our last tier tonight here, Cal?
I kind of, out of all of those, let's go with Trey Murphy. He's still got a bit of a ceiling. He shot it pretty well. His 3-point field goal is 43%.
Massive.
He's a bit of a specialist, obviously, but if you can get some kind of 3-and-D, like he's got the kind of wingspan and height to do it. So yeah. if he unlocks it on that end, on the defensive side, that probably would be the ceiling you're hoping for.
Yeah, you need that good defense to translate to defensive stats, which it did in college. It doesn't mean that it won't. I've seen it happen in the past where, you know, they're a good defender in college. They haven't quite got the numbers there, but then it starts to translate in the league. He's obviously got the wingspan. I could see him averaging like a steal and a half a game, close to a block a game. And if he gets, you know, a few threes per game. You've got that kind of like Trevor Ariza kind of mold sort of thing, which can have use. So I like that. I think, yeah, I like that shout as like a blend of high floor, somewhat of a ceiling, if it all works out. What are your thoughts on Sharif Cooper? Obviously, pick 48 in the draft. You often don't see someone pick 48 rise up to 26 on someone's board. But, you know, before the draft, he was a lot higher than this for me.
Was it the Hawks? Is that where he ended up?
Yeah, Atlanta, which is why he's dropped as far down as he has for me. If it wasn't for the fact that he's behind Trae Young, he'd be higher on my board.
Yeah, I think some of the GMs on draft day were a bit worried about him just because it's just the shot, and the shot, the field goal does hurt. If he gets a roll, if there's an injury to Trae, definitely pick him up on the waiver wire, see what happens.
Yeah.
Because he's a great passer and he can blow by anyone. He reminds me a lot of Ty Lawson, but his shot selections are so bad. I don't know if it can improve over the next few years, and that's why people didn't draft him very high.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe there's something to it. Maybe the GMs are right, and a lot of the draft personalities and myself out there are wrong on Trae Young. But I just think in fantasy, the assists are king. You know, he scored over 20 points a game in college. You know, he played with a high usage rate. The free throw percentage was good, which gives me some optimism for his shooting ability. He's just a good statistical player. So if he gets minutes, he's going to put up stats, and that's what we want in fantasy. So
this punt field goal, and he's a number one pick, right?
Well, nearly. But it will require either an injury to Trae or a trade from either himself or Trae Young, which doesn't seem like it's happening within the first few years. So again, it's going to be a patient one and probably more for your deeper dynasty formats personally. But he is definitely someone that I'm going to be having on my watch list and keeping an eye on for all leagues in case there is an injury or a deal that happens. That might do it for us today, Cal. And any other final thoughts on this rookie class? Anyone who pops out that you think that I've omitted or slighted in this rookie rankings?
No, not really. I will maybe a little last shout out to JT Thor. I like his ceiling and the defensive end. If he can get the blocks, it's him or Kai. I believe they're... are they the same team? They're both at
Charlotte, so they're battling it out.
Flip a coin, right? It could go either way. I know you're higher on Kai, but I kind of like JT. So
yep, I like JT too. I do like JT, and I like the fact that Charlotte got the both, because hedge your bets, one of them's going to work out. So maybe if you're in a deeper dynasty league and you grab Kai, and then you've got another pick later, I don't know, you could get JT Thor and just. One of them hopefully works out.
One of them
out.
Should work out.
you get your threes and blocks kind of guy there. So something that maybe you can handcuff them together. But no, his upside fantasy-wise is high. Similar to Kai's, I'm just less sold on his ability to actually make it happen. But if it does, it does have some upside. And that's why he's a good swing at this point. So good shout there. All righty. We will call it there, guys. If you are watching along on YouTube, please make sure you comment. Let us know any questions you have leading into the next fantasy season. We're going to start to ramp up the fantasy content again. Free agency is coming out soon, so we'll be going to be dissecting all the moves, all the trades, all the signings, and how they impact fantasy. And before you know it, we're going to have our rankings, our tiers, and all that fantasy good stuff coming into next season. So hit the subscribe button. Hit that bell so you get notified, and we will catch you guys next time. Laters.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.